While having empathy and sympathy for the victims of the California fires, are you thinking that'll never happen where you are? What if it did? What would you take to make your escape with? One of my best friends who lives in Southern California had the fires get real close to her home, so she loaded up her car with the essentials, or at least as the way she saw things, medications, identification, business documents, and 60 photo albums. So what about you? Would that be the spot you'd be in? Is it one you'd like to get ahead of? My next guest is here to help. Along being the president of Lena Selena Legacy Preservation, she's also author of the book, From the Stacks, an Archivist Reveals How to Store, Digitize, and Preserve Documents to Create a Family Archive and Leave a Personal Legacy. Rhonda Chadwick, how are you today, Rhonda?
I'm good. How are you?
Great to have you here. Talk about this. Learn more about Lena Selena Legacy Preservation, lenaselena.com. We do have that link at our homepage as well. People, I have no doubt, because it's happened to me too, we have our photos from our parents, our grandparents, they're in the albums. We don't look at them frequently, maybe years before we look at them for whatever reason, for a memory, for an anniversary. We open the album, and like I said in the introduction, there's a lot of faded memories in there. What when someone is looking at those albums, well, first and foremost, storage, I guess, because if you don't protect the source material, what we're going to get into is kind of a moot point. But what's the best thing when it comes to storage of source material, like photos and documents, diplomas, things like that, that people have to remember?
Well, the thing that you want to do, if they are in those old magnetic photo albums, you want to take them out of there because that is not good plastic. And you probably do already have, as well as fading, some fading you can't help. There's a thing that's known as dark fading. And so certain, especially color photographs, are going to fade in a dark environment anyways. But the sheets of those magnetic photo albums, they tarnish. You know, they get like they turn like an orangey color. And so, which is acid, really. It's an acid breakdown. So you want to take them out of those photo albums and put them into good photo albums. And really the best place to go is to an archival storage house. Although I will say that with the scrapbooking craze that happened a few years ago, a lot of the big stores like Michael's, they do have good paper. You want acid-free, right? And good plastic. You don't want PVC. So if you're using archival materials, those materials are tested, and they guarantee that they won't do further damage. If you go to Michael's, you know, it's going to be in a better environment. So that's like one of the key things you want to do. You want to rehouse them, take them out of those old photo albums.
At the same time, too, you can always show off the digital copies and keep the paper copies in the protective environment like you just described. Let's move into the digital aspect of all of this, because for, well, depending on what your needs are, how serious you are, between $100 and $200, you can get a good scan. I mean, this is work that you do with the Lena Selena Legacy Preservation, but you can't be traveling all over the country doing this for other people. It's good to have the ability to do in the areas that you do this work, doing seminars and day clinics, things like that. But for someone who is intimidated by technology, help them understand really what does a scanner and a computer, what does it afford them the opportunity to do, and what are some of the priorities they should keep in mind when it comes to things like terms like resolution and tone and hue, things like that?
That is a really good question. And there actually is quite a lot to understand about digital preservation, although you can just keep it simple. And, you know, the scanners that you could buy at Staples for $100 is most likely going to do the job. You know, if you have slides, there are certain attachments that you can get that will scan slides. If you want to scan your film, you can do that as well. But if you really want to keep it simple, you can just get a regular scanner from Staples, Or they also have apps that you can download on your phone that you can take a picture of a picture, and it compensates for a little bit of, you know, wobble, your hand shaking. I personally think that the scanners, the flatbed scanners, are better. But, you know, if you want to do it and you want to do it quickly, those apps are a way to go. There are services where you can send it out and they'll scan the whole thing for you. But if you want to do it yourself, I do talk about resolution in my book, you know, and I give you advice. I actually take this information from the Library of Congress. But you're, so most scanners are plug and play. So you just plug it into your computer. You do want flatbed. You don't want the top loading ones. And it'll guide you. Usually for photographs, we want 1200. You have the resolution to be around 1200. But I've done it lower and higher. And I think really just buy the scanner and play around with it a little bit and see what you like. Because the thing is, in the digital world, things are, you know, very cheaply we can get a good copy because it's in the digital world.
So we're Rhonda Chadwick, who is the president of Lena Salina Legacy Preservation, lenasalina.com, also author of Secrets from the Stacks, and Archivist Reveals How to Store, Digitize, and Preserve Documents to Create a Family Archive and Leave a Personal Legacy. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. So when you do the scanning, Rhonda, you have to have a place to put it. Now, you're not going to put it in an album on the shelf, obviously. You have things like thumb drives, external hard drives, and tell me this is a fair analogy. Back in the days of vinyl records, the more you played a record, the faster you start to get the scratches, the pops, and the skips. The same is true, isn't it, with thumb drives, external hard drives. Every time you plug the thumb drive into your computer and take it out, that's a play. That's like playing the record one time. You do that 50, 100 times, and like I said back in the introduction, well, thumb drives can crash, which will, A, adds to the importance of always maintaining your source material, the original paper photos or documents in this case, but also, how do you keep the availability electronically without having to go back and rescan everything all over again because you really beat the devil out of your thumb drive or your external hard drive?
You know, that's also a very good question. I think one of the great things about a digital copy of a photograph is that it is easily shared. You can upload it onto Facebook. You can email it to your friends or your family members. That is the beauty of it. In terms of, you know, keeping that copy, you're correct. Actually, a lot of people are not aware of that, that every time you open and close a document, you lose a few bits. And so, yes, it does wear out after time. And, you know, I don't know if you've had it happen. I certainly have, where I go to open a photograph and it says file corrupted or it just won't open. And that, if that was my only copy, it would be devastating. So one of the rules we want to follow is called the 3-2-1 rule, the backup, 3-2-1. You want to have 3 backups, 2 local, and 1 offsite. So typically that's going to mean if you have a computer, it's going to be on your computer. It's going to be on some kind of external hard drive. Flash drives are actually very good. They're a little more durable than some of the other backup mechanisms. But I think the biggest disadvantage of a flash drive is that they're small and they're very easy to lose. And then you want to have off-site. Now, off-site could be, you know, to give something to a relative and have it at their house. But nowadays, off-site means online storage. And we all have access. If you have an email or a Gmail account, you most likely have some free online storage. So we want to have things in 3 places. So if it fails in one place, we still have it in another place. Now, the other thing, what we do in the archives is we have what's called cold storage. So when you digitize that photograph, and, you know, what I try to get people to do, like the whole focus of my book is to get people to create a family archive or to leave a personal legacy. And so you have to make a distinction between that. You know, this is my archive and this is just my daily stuff. And the things that are going to go into our archive, we do want to consider that cold storage. So what cold storage means is that you put it there, you leave it alone. And that's what we do in the archives. You know, we have cold storage. There's a copy in cold storage. Now, there's a copy probably on the library or archives website that the public can access and open a million times, right? And so when that file gets corrupted, we go to that one that's in cold storage, and we're going to put another copy there. So you want to be thinking like that. You have that copy that's in cold storage that you're not going to touch, and then you have another copy that you can share with everybody, and you can open it a million times. And if it gets corrupted, go back to that cold storage one and pull it out, make another copy.
Rhonda Chadwick, thank you so much for helping people understand how, instead of worrying about what would happen if they don't do anything, that they can do a lot to make sure their fears do not happen. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me on your program. And I agree. I think everybody actually can do this, and most of it is much simpler than they think. And I think maybe sometimes the hardest thing is allocating the time to do it.